Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Win Your Daily Battles podcast. My name is Jamie, and I'm the host for this show. We are still here on October. We're still commemorating the Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And so before officially starting this podcast, let me remind all the beautiful and strong chicas listening to be very proactive with your health. Schedule once a month wherein you will do some breast self-exams to check those boobies of yours. And if something just doesn't feel right, you have some unusual lump, or there's a discharge or discoloration in your skin, anything that just doesn't seem like you're normal, please go ahead and schedule an appointment with a medical professional to investigate it further, because I'm telling you, early detection can still possibly cure you and it can prolong your life. If I haven't been very proactive in my survivorship, maybe I'm not even here. So please do yourselves a favor and take very, very good care of yourselves. Do not wait until it's too late. If something just doesn't feel right with your breasts, please seek professional medical help. So what are we going to be talking about for today's podcast? Well, I started this month speaking about the book I am writing, which is called That Shit Called Cancer, The Not-So-Subtle Art of Winning Your Life Back. And this book is hopefully going to be released early next year. We're still doing the final edits and layout design, and I'm so excited to share this, because this is going to be talking about my no filter, no holds barred story with my four-time survivorship with cancer. And also, I will offer a lot of self-help informational tidbits that's going to be useful for your very own journey if you are also in recovery or about to go treatment with breast cancer. And if you don't have cancer and you happen to read the book, you will just see how a survivorship with cancer is no joke and how it changes your perspective in life. And you're also going to be able to treat people in your lives who've been diagnosed in a much better way, because you'll be understanding it coming from someone who's been there, done that. Meanwhile, I'm going to read some of the lines in the book and explain further what I mean. So in the past episodes, we've been talking about the different emotions that you feel when you receive a cancer diagnosis. You always bounce around all these emotions because it is, of course, very traumatic to hear that you have a diagnosis. So on the first episode this month, I spoke about stage one, which is the denial stage. Then last week, it was all about anger. Something I'm very known for. And for today's episode, we're going to be talking about stage three, which is bargaining. Now, what exactly is bargaining? This is when you feel like there's still something that you should have done or you could do to reverse the disease. In my case, I would always tell my oncologist that maybe I just need to keep eating kale and spinach and broccoli, and this is going to go away. Or maybe I just need to do more spiritual work. Perhaps there's some repressed spirit inside me or some emotional baggage that I have to work with, so I will be no longer in disease, or I call it dis-ease. Because when your body is not at ease, it creates some form of manifestation. So I'm thinking maybe there's something in my end that I can do so that cancer will just go away, or that this diagnosis will just turn into no evidence of disease. So bargaining is like negotiation. You're negotiating with yourself, with your body, with God, and with your medical team, or whoever it is that you believe in that may help you get better in the situation. And me, I think in my case, I always think that I have a lot of baggage growing up, and maybe it caused my cancer, because I've always been a people pleaser in my youth. I've always been yielding to people in the society, with my parents, with my audience back in the Philippines when I was doing TV. I always feel like I never really fully expressed who I am, and I'm always just taking in what people expect me to be. And so maybe all this repression or suppression created this disease. So maybe if I just express who I truly am and be authentic, it's going to go away. Or maybe I just need to do a lot of Reiki and some healing within from my childhood trauma coming from a dysfunctional family. So I have all these theories thinking that maybe if I do something in my end, this will all go away. Now, I've heard stories in the books I've read. I've heard people who actually worked with their inner trauma and all the baggages that's been suppressed inside them, and it actually healed them. So it could work. I'm not discounting the possibility of emotional trauma being released. It could actually work. But the thing is, we cannot solely depend on these things because it's very random. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. We still need our professional help and the medical field, the modern science, to help us through this. So the bargaining has always been there. Every time I would speak to my medical team, I would just come up with some theory that maybe there's something I could do in my end to just reverse the disease, because I just, again, don't want to accept that I have it. And it's very, very normal to go through that bargaining stage. Now, if you're very religious, I bet you have a lot of conversations with God saying that, God, I promise to be a good person now. I promise to just be grateful for everything, and I will just regroup my life and do the things that you want me to do. If I do that, will you take away the disease? Will you just let me live long? That's called bargaining. We just find ways to convince ourselves that there is still something that can be done on our end for all this nightmare to be over. The truth is, I don't have the answer if that really works. Again, I read in some situations it does, but again, there's no proven evidence that it consistently works. But I still bounce on it anyway. So let me read the self-sabotaging thoughts in this stage that I've experienced in my journey, and a few lines from the book. And again, when you buy the book next year, when it gets released, it will contain winning affirmations as well, how to counter all these self-sabotaging thoughts. So let me read to you the self-sabotaging thought number 5. I should have done this. I should have done that. For a time, I hated that I chose the independent, adventure-filled life instead of settling down and opting for the conventional grown-up route. You know, a husband, kids, a house, and maybe a 9-to-5 job. Maybe if I did that, this wouldn't have happened to me. So yes, the self-blame was definitely there. And for the longest time, I hated myself for somehow bringing cancer upon myself. I thought, you're a smart woman, Jamie. So why didn't you see this coming? Oh, yes. All the time I would think, I am a smart, strong, and independent woman. And yet, how come I never figured out that this is going to come my way? And how come I never thought about preventing it? And yes, there was a time when I was negotiating that maybe I should have gotten married and followed that route of just settling down instead of being this creative soul who traveled the world. Because I heard, again, I'm not sure if this is actually accurate, but I heard that having children when you're in your early 20s actually lessens your chances of getting cancer. So for a while, I thought that if I had a child, maybe this didn't happen. Maybe I shouldn't have been so selfish and desired to explore the world and be a free spirit. I should have just chosen to settle down in the Philippines when I had my chance. I had so many opportunities of settling down with a good rich man, but I chose the path that's least traveled, which is to travel the world and to go on an adventure and just not settle down. But you know what? It was a slap in the face when I heard a friend who had lots of children in her early 20s, and she followed the route that most women take, which is to just get settled and find a good rich man, have babies, have a house. She's a housewife with less stress, but she still got a diagnosis. And that's where I realized that, oh my God, cancer is really just some random shit. So you cannot keep blaming yourself or making bargains that you could do something. Sometimes you could do the right things in your life and yet you still get it. I've met people who are non-healthy eaters. They would smoke and drink and do drugs and just didn't give a damn about life, and yet they are still so healthy. And here I am, a healthy woman who did yoga, did running, did boxing, didn't smoke or drink except for super small or very several occasions. I think I did my best compared to other people who live their lives recklessly, and yet I still got a diagnosis. So now I'm really seeing that it can be as random. I believe in the saying that 1 out of 8 women will just get cancer randomly without any basis at all. This disease doesn't know any status, race, age, color. It doesn't matter what you are. It just picks you. When it comes, it just comes. Experiencing the bargaining is completely, absolutely acceptable. But please know that sometimes there's really nothing much you can do. I mean, for a time I was beating myself and saying that I wish I just got married and had kids when I was young. But then, will I have been happier? Will I be fulfilled? Maybe if I chose that route, who knows? Maybe I could or could not have cancer. But if I did have cancer at that time, then I would reflect back and say, oh my God, why did I choose this path when all the while I wanted to be a free spirit, an independent person who wants to travel the world? Maybe I would have hated my life more for choosing that path just so I could please the society. Processing of emotions where, you know what? Yes, I did get a diagnosis, but at least I chose the path that I wanted for my life. No regrets. And if you're thinking about life right now because of your diagnosis, if you're listening right now and you're reviewing your life and thinking, oh my God, I shoulda, coulda, woulda, stop right there, take a breath, and know that it is what it is. You did your best. You're here because you're meant to be here. And yes, you don't deserve cancer. No one does deserve this monster disease. But please do not think that there's still something that you could have done, because I always believe that things happen as they should. So you just got to learn how to roll with the punches. And that is why we need to process all these emotions happening. And we got to be very, very patient with ourselves and stop hating ourselves and blaming ourselves for getting cancer. Even the richest men have it. Even the most popular people here in Hollywood, yes, maybe you don't get it, but some people get another type of disease. It's just, I guess, how life is. And I know that little by little, as we go around all these emotions, you're going to hit the acceptance stage. But know that acceptance doesn't happen overnight. It takes time and a lot of processing and patience to get there. I always thought that maybe I can still reverse this. And I still believe in my heart that until I'm alive, until we're all alive, there's still a chance to find something. There's still a chance for cure. I've heard stories of people who go on spontaneous remission. So I still believe in my heart that it could happen for anybody. That one day maybe we wake up and our bodies just cooperate and wow, there's no evidence of disease. Great. But until then, we have to keep the hope without hating ourselves or without feeling that right now there's something that we could do to change all of this. Unfortunately, there's no magic formula. There's a lot of studies being done to reverse disease, but hopefully someday we live long enough for the cure to come out. Every time I would get sad and do some bargaining on my end, I would always say, I just need to live long enough until a better treatment comes along, or hopefully even a cure. So my dear winner, thriver, survivor, you are in this point in your life because you are meant to be here. Things happened before and things could happen tomorrow, but right now you are here listening to my podcast because you're meant to be where you are. The more you blame yourself and the more you look back and assess what you could have, should have, would have, it's going to prevent you from appreciating life and living in the very present moment. You could be missing out on opportunities, on spending time with your loved ones, on taking very good care of yourself because you're so focused on the past and what you could have done, or in the future on what you could do. Sometimes the best thing that we can do is just sit in the present, be very still, and still be very grateful that we are still alive. No matter what the circumstance that's going on, we are alive right now. You're listening to my podcast. I am talking right now, and I am able to move my body. I'm able to function. I came from the beach today to listen to worship. So life is great. Yes, I'm still in active treatment, and I cannot declare that I have no evidence of disease, but hey, I am still alive and moving, and that's the most important thing. I still get to witness another sunrise, another sunset, and hopefully more to come. Yes, you can always review what you could have done, what you could do in the future, but please do not miss out on the opportunity with the present moment. A present is called a present because it is a gift. It is happening and unfolding for you right here, right now. So give it a chance. Please take it easy on yourself. I don't know about you, but with me, I have always been very overcritical with myself. Being an artist, I always expect the best for myself. So sometimes I would revert into this thinking of, yeah, you know what? This is all my fault. And I have to stop myself and say, Jamie, you did your absolute best. You followed your heart. You lived the life that you wanted. And yes, this diagnosis happened, unfortunately, but hey, it can happen to anybody. Of course, I think I don't deserve it. If you're listening, you don't deserve it too, but well, we all don't deserve it. No one does. But life is random like that. Life just happens for us, not to us. And what we can do is just learning how to deal with what is given, even if sometimes it's not ideal, because we all don't want to face the truth. We all try to find different distractions so we don't deal with ourselves or our problems. And cancer is a catalyst for that, because you have to just face yourself. Being stuck in bed from treatment, you feel like crap, and you just really start to assess your life. What the fuck have I been doing all this time? Have I been really following my heart? Have I been a contribution to the human race? You have time to think and ponder about all these things. And then you start going back to, oh my God, I shoulda, woulda, coulda. Well, sister, just to let you know, it's not too late to do things that you think you should still be doing. You have this wake-up call right now, and you're given a chance to redeem yourself. So it's not too late, you know? But please don't be hard on yourself for thinking, why didn't I start early? Why didn't I try to be a better person early on? If you're a parent, usually I hear that parents really take it so hard on themselves and say, oh my God, I wish I took care of myself better, because what's going to happen to my kid if something happens to me, if this cancer progresses? Oh, please do not blame yourself for getting this diagnosis. And know that you are doing your absolute best. The fact that you're listening to my podcast, it means you're being proactive in processing your emotions and finding someone who can relate and understand what you're going through. Because believe me, I do understand. I've been there. And I'm still here. And yes, I may not have kids. Maybe we're in a different kind of life because I live the independent, free-spirited lifestyle. Maybe if you're listening, you're probably in a different path. But we are connected with one disease that brought us here right now. So no, I'm not thankful for cancer because it's shit. But it matured me. It made me realize the importance of my time and my energy. And now I really have this sole purpose of inspiring people and making them fully aware of how great life can be and how a human potential can be so maximized if only you dig deep within yourself.
This episode is brought to you by Four Sigmatic, a wellness company that is well known for its delicious mushroom coffee. I've been starting my day with their ground mushroom coffee with lion's mane instead of regular coffee, and I love how it helps me focus so I can get stuff done, just like recording this podcast right now. It contains lion's mane and supports productivity and creativity during my very hectic days. You're probably thinking, does this coffee taste like mushrooms? Nope, I guarantee it tastes like regular coffee. And it's easy on the gut, so it doesn't leave me with that awful jittery feeling or crash. And I've worked out an exclusive offer for the Win Your Daily Battles podcast listeners. You can receive 15% off with your Four Sigmatic order. Just key in my discount code, JamieWins, spelled as JAYMEWINS, upon checkout. So every day, let's make magic happen with Four Sigmatic.
So now let's proceed to the next self-sabotaging thought that I think about when I do the bargaining stage. Self-sabotaging thought number 6. This is from my book, which is coming out early next year, called That Shit Called Cancer. It's a breast cancer memoir and self-help. So anyway, here goes. I don't want my life to change for the worst. After my lumpectomy surgery, I became extra insecure, especially around men. I felt like a dented canned good on a grocery shelf, a damaged item that no customer would ever be interested in picking up. There was less sensation on the part of my breast where the cut was made, but the rest of my left boob felt normal. I tried to compensate for this by glamorizing myself, donning funky wigs, going bold with my makeup, and making papansin, or in English, trying to get attention on social media. This is the truth. Cancer really cripples your femininity and confidence. Now, I am not an ugly-looking person. I am a presentable woman, and I've always been so comfortable with my sexuality and my womanhood. But when cancer came, I really lost my confidence for a time because, yeah, I had a scar on my left boob. I lost my hair. I lost my desire for sex. My libido just went so low that I didn't feel any interest in any sexual encounter. I just want my life back. I just want the old Jamie back. My long black hair, my ability to attract men effortlessly, my happy, jolly self who's always been so optimistic and always on the go. Nothing really ties me down. I'm always the type to be impulsive and I can just leave. And then cancer came and it changed it all. Suddenly, I'm just packed with all these medical commitments that I cannot bail out on. And I just didn't like how I looked. Yeah, people kept complimenting. You look beautiful bald. If you've been following my social media, people have been saying like, you still look beautiful with short hair. It doesn't look like you got sick. You're still attractive. But yeah, it's the physical part. But the emotional and the psychological, I felt very, very ugly. Exactly what I wrote in the book. I felt like a damaged canned good. I mean, if you go to the grocery store, would you pick up a dented canned good? Of course not. You're going to go for something new, something bright, the bright, shiny toy. I just felt like I don't have that anymore. And it really created a lot of insecurity in me. And I was bargaining to God that just give me my old life back and I will change everything. I will change the way I see life. I will keep worshiping you more. I had all these crazy ideas that went on in my head. But you know what? I realized that feeling beautiful and sexy really comes from your attitude and how you see yourself. I've met so many people who are super attractive on the outside, but just because they don't feel very secured with themselves, it still shows. Just to confess with you, for a time, I tried to date men when I started recovering from cancer, when I had my cute pixie cut and my wounds have healed. And yet, the men still felt like she's very insecure. Something about her doesn't feel right because I think I was just coming from a place of, does he still think I'm beautiful right now? Even if they've been complimenting me and they've been looking at me thinking, yeah, she's beautiful. But in my head, I know that, oh my God, I have this big scar on my left breast. And I don't know, I just don't feel comfortable with short hair. I've always had long hair. So I had this mental playlist that keeps saying, I'm not good enough. I'm not beautiful enough. But the reality is so opposite, because the guys that I was going out with, they all thought that I looked great. There's really nothing going on, but they smell that it's really her who's got the issues, because they don't know. And then when I came from a much better perspective in life, when I came from a place of confidence and I've accepted that I have scars and I'm never going to have my long hair again because, well, I've already transitioned into loving short hair. Once I started to feel very comfortable in my own skin, even with scars and short hair, I saw that men like me either way. So it really doesn't have anything to do with how you look like. It's how you present yourself and how you feel about yourself. Men pick that up. They get that vibration. If you're feeling good about yourself, if you're secured and you don't define your femininity based on just physical attributes, because it's so superficial. So I had to learn the hard way. I had to learn that cancer should not be a hindrance for me to not feel good about myself. Of course, at a certain point, it will really shake your confidence, but know that you're going to get it back. You will. It may not look like that right now, because maybe, I don't know what point you are in your treatment, if you're listening, if you're at the point where you just recovered from chemo and your hair is barely there and you feel like crap, but know that this is all a temporary situation. The hair is going to grow back when you stop the treatment. Your energy is going to come back. Your libido will come back, but you got to work on it. But there are solutions to get you back on track. So please do not think that you're stuck in this ugly phase of the cancer treatment, because there is an end to this and you will feel beautiful and sexy again. Now, if you're seeing someone or you're in a relationship or you're married and then the man that you're with suddenly just dumps you because of this diagnosis, then fuck that. You don't deserve a man like that. It goes to show that he's not the right one for you, because if he is judging you based on a cancer diagnosis, then he doesn't really like you or love you to begin with, because you're the person that he liked. A diagnosis is not you. And if he sees that over your great personality or how you actually connected in the first place, then he's not the right one and you're better off. It's actually good riddance. Don't beat yourself up. Know that it was done for the right reasons. At least you know better, instead of sticking around with someone who's actually not that loyal and faithful to being with you. Yes, bargaining is always going to be there. You always think there's something that you coulda, woulda, shoulda done. But please do yourselves a favor and come back to the present moment and appreciate what you have right now, even if things are not ideal. There's always good cards in your deck that you can be thankful for. Maybe you have a good job, a good family, a good spouse. You have your children. You have your family who cares about you. You have financial help from your treatment. Find something in the present moment that you're going to be so grateful for, that you don't keep beating yourself up with a woulda, shoulda, coulda, because it's going to really hit you hard if you keep reliving a moment in the past or always forwarding in the future what you could do. Right now, just stay grounded in the present and know that, hey, I'm breathing. I'm alive. I'm okay. I'm still here. There is still hope. There's still a chance for things to turn around. And I'm so glad that I'm listening to this podcast, right? That you're listening to me. And if you hear my story, I'm a 4-time survivor and I'm still here. So if I beat it 4 times, then you could too. Maybe this is your first diagnosis or second. Oh, there is hope. If you just keep that fight in you and find a reason why life is worth living. Because once you know that life is worth the fight, then you will do whatever it takes to be better. And of course, always seek guidance from a higher power. I respect all types of religion and beliefs. But in my case, I do believe in God, and I always consult with him, even if I'm the independent, strong, free-spirited woman. At the end of the day and at the start of my day, I still bow down and seek guidance and clarity from him. Because we all need some anchor at some point. We do need some clarity on where we are going. And we need to ask for strength so we can keep on, because, well, cancer treatment is not easy. It's never a walk in the park. But with absolute determination, you can and you will get through it. So hope for the best that we all stay alive until a better treatment or possibly a cure will come along. Until then, let's hang in faith and keep moving forward. Thank you so much for listening to my podcast for today. And as I always say, winning your daily battles, especially as a cancer survivor, is never easy. Sometimes the battle is in your head. Sometimes it's not the treatments, it's not the side effects, but it's in your head. You're always beating yourself up, thinking about possible ways that you could have, would have, should have done, or you get angry, or you get depressed. There's so many emotions that come with a diagnosis, and it's absolutely human to feel all those. And sometimes every day we have to stop thinking that we're dying, because we're not. We're still here until our breath is out, until we're no longer feeling anything. Then there's still a chance to get better. So survive today. That's going to be your winning over your battle for today. Sometimes it just takes surviving one moment, 1 second, 1 minute at a time. Take it very easy on yourself and take the baby steps that's necessary. Don't see the whole big picture, because you're going to end up planning for a funeral that might not happen. Don't go there just yet. Stay here in the present and appreciate that you are here, still alive, and breathing. And sometimes that's more than enough to pat yourself in the back and say, hey, you are winning today. I hope that you enjoyed this podcast as much as I did, and I hope I inspired you, empowered you, and uplifted you to keep on winning. Don't worry about the future. Don't regret about the past. All we have right now, the only guarantee, is the very present moment. I shall talk to you again next week on another episode of the Win Your Daily Battles podcast. We're going to be talking about stage 4, which is grief, and then jump on to the final stage, which is the acceptance stage. I'm so excited to share all this journey with you guys. Thank you for always supporting my mediums in sharing my story. It's helping me as well. This is therapeutic, so I'm hoping that we're both benefiting from each other. All right. Well, this is Jamie, and I'm signing off.